So let me ask you this first of all. What does a bad day look like to you? Have you had a bad day lately? Anybody had a bad day lately? Right? Anybody had a bad week? Like it wasn't just one day. It was two, three, four, and it seemed to compile upon each other, and you're kind of wondering what's going on with my days, my weeks, as they keep to come, kind of piling up in a very negative way. Well, maybe that was something lately that was going on with you, whether it was, who knows, in relationships and family stuff and in your health, a whole manner of things. And sometimes it's just all the above, right? It's just all the above. And they seem to pile on to each other. Now, you may have a way of dealing with bad days. You know, maybe you like to go home and take a hot shower. Maybe you like to ask your husband to rub your feet, and he's always so willing. He's just, yes, yes, sweetie, yes, yes, let me rub your feet for you and massage them with all care and diligence. Just joking, by the way, just joking. Yeah. No, there's no halo over my head. I don't massage feet. Anyway. But you have your solutions, right? The old commercial was Calgon, take me away. That was, I don't know how long that's been. But it's, you have your solutions, and you like to sit down and relax and just get away from things, get the noise out, and just kind of breathe, right? We all have our ways of handling things that could be heavy, whether it's work or family or just whatever it might be. We just need to get away, relax, and get away from the burdens. But you know what? Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's difficult, right? Because it seems like sometimes the burdens find us out, even in our hot bath that we're taking. It seems to find us out. And sometimes things go from bad day to bad week to a bad month to the realm where it becomes almost into this place of crisis in our life. Where it's not just a heavy burden, it's something that's piling on in a way that is overwhelming us. It's overwhelming us, it's overwhelming our senses, it's overwhelming our endurance, it's overwhelming our strength. And I think the word about this running this race to the point where we feel weary, as we're getting that word that was spoken this morning about running this race, that sometimes we absolutely feel weary and we don't feel like we can finish. We don't feel like we can make it. It's ahead of us, the finish line is ahead of us, but we feel like we're just gonna have to lay here until we can find strength once again to try to go forward. Sometimes life can feel that way. And sometimes we feel like giving up because sometimes we ask the question, what's the point? What's the use? I've been doing this thing called life for years and it's not really getting better. It only seems to be getting worse. Have you ever had that mindset? You ever thought those thoughts, or those thoughts kept coming to your head? What's the use after all? Sometimes life can be too much. Too much. And the temptation in those times is to go to despair, to a sense of hopelessness. Where we don't see it. We don't see the point, and we don't see the solutions, and we don't know where or when things are going to get better. So in that mindset, I want to look at a key figure in the Bible in the Old Testament, someone that you've probably read many, many times. We're going to go to 1 Samuel this morning, and we're going to look at the life of King David. Okay, can't read everything about King David. That'd be too much, right? But I'm going to give you some precursors and some build-up in his life. And I want to go to a specific point into his life that was specifically very hard and difficult. He had quite a few, by the way. But I want to talk about King David this morning. Let's just think briefly about King David. David was anointed as king by the prophet Samuel early in his life. Like he was young. He was probably somewhere between 10 to 15 years old when Samuel shows up in his town of Bethlehem, calls forth Jesse and his sons and says, "The Lord has called me here to anoint one of your sons." And they all line up, all well, not except David. He has eight brothers, by the way. And they all line up, or he's one of eight, and they all line up. And Samuel looks at each one and says, "No, no, 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 no," through the whole line. He says, "Do you have another?" He says, "Well, yeah, I mean, I have another, but he's a little boy and he's out in the fields and he's the most insignificant of all because he's the youngest. And he's just a herder or tender of sheep. That's all he can do." But Samuel's like, "No, go get him. Go get him." And he comes. And Samuel knows that the Lord tells him he's the one. He's the one. And so David, at a very young age, is anointed to be the next king. We know that King Saul was rejected by the Lord because of his wickedness and disobedience. And now the Lord has looked for somebody, and he's found somebody specifically with a heart after him, because this is the greatest criteria God is looking for. He's looking for someone with a heart after him. Now, we also know that David is bright. He's smart. We know that, he's good looking. We know he's handsome, right? We know he's strong, but he's not a big guy. See, Saul was a big guy. Saul was a tall guy, really impressive. Like, if he was standing here, he'd be the guy maybe 7 foot tall. And you'd be like, "Whoa, he's really physically impressive." But David wasn't like that. David wasn't. He was just maybe average. But he was courageous. And he certainly was a fighter. He had this fighting instinct on the inside of him. He didn't run from a fight. But here he was, a young boy, or maybe a young teenager. Unlikely to be chosen, youngest of all his family, but God saw his heart. And David gained great favor with God and increased and increased and increased. His life actually had this great upward trajectory. If we look at it, the shepherd boy is anointed king. He goes from being anointed king to killing Goliath, then serving in the King Saul's court, ultimately then becoming a powerful leader in Saul's army. If we remember what was said about David when he served in Saul's army, is he gained fame. In fact, it says when they were returning, he's in Saul's army at this point, and they're returning from battle. And it says, as they were coming home, this is 1 Samuel 18, it says, as they were coming home, when David returned from striking down the Philistine, the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with songs of joy, with musical instruments. And the women sang to one another as they celebrated, "Saul has struck down thousands and David his 10,000s. Uh-oh. See, David was becoming beloved. He was becoming famous in all of Israel. He was well-loved. In fact, he was more loved than King Saul, which created a major problem for David. But he was his upward trajectory was awesome. Everything was going right. He even got Saul's daughter as his wife, as a gift given for killing Goliath. So, see, all things were going right in David's life. But we know the story, right? Things radically shift. And what was happening in Israel, because David had risen to such a pinnacle, was the jealousy of King Saul began to become intense. So intense that King Saul began to hate David. "How can you be more famous than me? How can you be more loved than me? The only thing you don't have is my kingdom." And of course, David was to have that as well. And so things radically shifted for David. In fact, we know that Saul tries to kill David over and over again. And David has to run. He has to flee. He has to get out of there. To get away, he has to go hide. He hides in the wilderness. He has to not only hide in the wilderness, he has to keep moving around because David's trying to find him. And when David, when Saul hears he's there, Saul takes an army and tries to go and get him. He has to move from place. He's on the run. He's in the secret service. I mean, he has to be covered because his life, he's always watching his back. And so he hides. And he does this for years. Now, God does give him a group of men to fight with him. They're a bunch of social outcasts, the Bible says, a bunch of people who couldn't make it in society, you know, maybe rebels in their own right. And they'd go out to the wilderness to join David. But they're tough fighting men. And so he gets these 600 fighting men around him, and it's not enough to take on Saul's army, but it's enough to maybe survive and move on and live another day. But the danger to his life was ever present. How would you like to live every day not knowing if this would be the day that it would be the end? So life was hard. And it became a test of endurance, great endurance, as it lasted for years. But after years of enduring hardship, there was hope for better days, right? Don't we always have hope for better days in our hard times? But what happens when you go from enduring hard times to things getting worse? And that's what happened to David. He had been enduring for years and years and years, and then things got worse. Much worse. Let's pick up, and I want to pick up David's story, his life story, at a place called Ziklag. Do you know about Ziklag? Ziklag's not a good place. It was a place of hideout. It was a place of, you know, out, away from things, kind of hard to get to. And it provided some shelter for David and his men, but they had gone off to fight some other battles, and then they were returning. And here we're going to pick it up where they're returning from their endeavors to Ziklag. Okay? 1 Samuel 30, verse 1. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and they had invaded Ziklag. They attacked Ziklag, and they burned it with fire. And they had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, the wives had been taken captive. And then one more. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. I want to look at this passage just a little bit here. Quick question is, at this point of David's life, where he had actually been enduring the wilderness and been running for his life for quite some years, actually we think it's over a decade of time. I mean, that's a lot of time. To be running for your life out in the wilderness with these kind of rebellious type of outcast men. But it made it kind of like a family, and these men were loyal to him. But now all had been lost. Their shelter, what there was little town they had been burned down. All their wives, all the children had been taken. All their livestock, all their supplies that they left behind were taken. They only had the clothes that were on their back. Could life get any harder? Could life get any more difficult? It's like, Lord, I've been enduring for this all this many years, and now this? I mean, Lord, what are you doing? What are you rewarding me for? Because this is no reward. This is only pain. Why are you giving me pain, God? Have you ever asked those questions? Lord, I've been serving you, but this is what I'm getting. They had lost everything. Imagine weeping until you have no more strength to weep. Maybe that's been you at some point in your life where you were at that place where you just cried tears until you really had no more tears to cry. And I bet you felt like it was a pretty lonely place to be. I think that's where David's finding himself. David's finding himself in a very lonely place. It says, the Bible says, he was greatly distressed. I think that's an understatement to say he was greatly distressed. For now, this had happened, and the men that had been so loyal to him, the men who had lost everything with him, were now blaming him. We're now upset with him. We're now willing to say, look, you've been the one leading this and leading us all this time, and you let us out away from Ziklag, and you let us here, and you let us there doing this and doing that. This is your fault, David. We're blaming you. And you know what? You deserve to die. How's that for some good friends? But there David was. How lonely was it to be? Because he was standing alone. There was nobody for him. There was nobody there to encourage him. There was nobody to say, it's going to be okay, David. Nobody. So what did David do? This is the key for us here today. In verse 6, it says, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. So key. And I want to lean in on that today. The King James Version says David encouraged himself. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I think that's also key. It could be translated either way, different translations. But think about that. When you have no courage, when you have no strength, that you go to the Lord and there you find it. So again, David's in a place, and it's not fair. He's supposed to be king, right? His life is supposed to be in the palace. But here he is in this burned-down village, surrounded by men who hate him at this moment and are ready to kill him, and he stands alone. So it's very significant what David does. It's very significant because life is not fair. You probably figured that out, right? Along the way. Life is not fair. And if we want it to be fair, and we think it always should be fair, we're going to get greatly disappointed. That's going to be the one great disappointment of life. If we believe that life should always be fair, we're going to be greatly and sorely disappointed. Because it's not. It's not. And it certainly wasn't fair to David. But it's so significant that David does not give up. He does not give in. He does not go into the tent of self-pity. He does not go in the tent of woe is me. I'm no good. I might as well just end it right here. He doesn't do that. He feels the weight of the burden, but he does not give in to hopelessness. Why? Because he had hope. He knew he had hope. You see, he knew something that he could draw upon from years and years and years. He had hope. He didn't have answers. And hear this. Sometimes we don't have answers. But we need to know always that we have hope. David did not have answers, but he had hope. We can be in that place. We can be in such a place of great struggle that we don't know what to do. We really don't know what to do. We're exhausted. Our resources are exhausted. Our mental ability even to think about is exhausted. We have zero answers, but we always have hope. Why? Because we always have God. We always have God. And David, I believe David, when we look at the Psalm 42, I believe David spoke to his own soul when these words, as he was probably recounting these words, he says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." You know, sometimes you have to speak to yourself. Not because you're having some kind of crazy moment, but just sometimes there's no one else in the room to encourage you. There's no one there for you. And the Bible tells us that there is going to be those times in life where there's nobody around to encourage you, to build you up, to help you. And sometimes what we need to do when we encourage ourselves in the Lord is speak to yourself. Put your hope in God. Speak to your soul. See, these words tell us that you can command your own soul to not give up, but to trust deeply in God. David encouraged himself. He strengthened himself in the Lord. It's important to note that this Hebrew verb has a reflexive nature to it. There's this, and I can't remember the Hebrew vowels right now, but there's it's called hot, and the hot is connected to the verb, and it makes it reflexive. Which means he didn't just find strength. He didn't just get strengthened. It said he strengthened himself. It was how David positioned himself before God. See, this is important. This is so important. It's how David positioned himself before God. It's important to know it's active. It's not passive. It's an act of seeking. It's an act of desiring. It's an act of going after. There's not a sitting around going, "Woe is me," and self-pity. It's not that. It's not a time for blaming. It's not a time for finger pointing. I mean, his men may have been doing that to him, but he wasn't doing that back. He wasn't playing that game. And he knew he couldn't win that game anyway. But it wasn't time to sit around blaming. It wasn't time to sit around complaining. David seeks the one who's able to give him strength. See, our position before God is so important. How we position ourselves before the Lord. I mean, we can curl up in a ball and feel sorry for ourselves. We can. We can have self-pity parties, and we do. But sometimes, at some point in time, we got to come out of that, right? We got to come away from that and say, "Lord, there's no life in that. There's no breath in that. Lord, you've got to have better." And the thing is he does. He does have better. There are better days. And the other note here is, God is near. He's near us. He's near at all times. He's near to you. He's near to me. You can't be in the darkest place in your life and think that God is nowhere to be found. He's near even in the darkest place of your life. He can be found. That's the truth that we always have to know and fall upon. We have to stand upon that, because it's in that knowledge that we say, "Lord, I need you." As we sang this morning, we need him. "Lord, I need you. I need you now as much as I ever need. I need you." And you go to him. See, that knowledge, "Lord, you're always with me." Hear these words of looking to God as the psalmist describes his deep trust of God in midst of trouble. Psalm 121. It says, "I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He watches over you. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand." When you know that you know, "God, you are with me, though the journey is long, though the burdens are heavy, though I'm feeling oppressed from all sides, You are with me, O Lord, and I will seek you. I will look to you. I will lift my eyes up and I will look to you, for you are where my help comes from. See, David has this deep trust in God. He's been there. He's like, God has been with him all these years, and his trust does not fail at this time. His trust is deep in God. And though his circumstances were dire, he knew he was not forsaken. We're never forsaken. You know, when we come to desperate times, we have a choice. We can either go the direction of despair and despondency. We can go in that direction. Or we can go in the direction of faith. And God calls us to faith. See, that's where that deep abiding trust comes in. Do you have a deep abiding trust in the Lord today? Because when you have that, when difficult times come, you can then go to faith and saying, Lord, even now I trust in you. Even now I know that you have a way. God is there. He was there for David time and time again. And he had this faith. David had this faith on the inside of him. Psalm 46 speaks of this. Speaks of this faith. God is our refuge. God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble. When it feels like the earth below your feet is giving way. It says, I will not fear. The psalmist says, I will not fear. For God is our refuge and our strength. What we have need of, we find in him. This preposition, I think, is also important. Where it says, in the Lord. I believe it's significant. See, we get many things from God, and God blesses us. We ask many things of God. But I really believe there's some things that can be only gotten by being with God. There's some things in life. I think even an increased faith, an increased knowledge of him. There's some things that can only be gotten by being in his presence. We can't get it far away. We can't get it in a distance. We only get it by coming in his presence. To the throne of grace, sitting at his feet. And this is something we learn in our Christian walk. We have to learn to truly have what God wants us to have. We will get it in the Lord, where we know God intimately, where we come close, where we feel his presence, where we know him. And we're unshakable because of the knowledge we have of the Lord our God. See, above all, we need God. We need God himself. A lot of times we think we need this or that. We need care, we need provision, we need healing, we need all sorts of things in life. But above all, we need him. Because we don't need just provision, we need the provider. We don't just need healing, we need the healer. We don't just need salvation, but we need the Redeemer. This is how, right? It's because we have him. It's not like just God just wraps a gift up and puts it on our front porch and says, here, here, you know, delivery sent. Now, he sends deliveries to us. But we have to have the one, right? The one. And sometimes we make a mistake because we're saying, Lord, give me this, give me that, give me this, but we never get him. And the Lord's inviting us to something different and into a different kind of relationship and saying, you know what? You know where your healing is? It's in me. Do you know where your provision is? It's in me. All things. All things. So seek me and you'll find. And I feel like if we have that mindset in our spiritual walk, then we'll redirect and position ourselves differently before the Lord. Because in all things, I need him. Because he's the one. He's the giver of good gifts. But we need the giver. So do you have Jesus today? Do you have him? Is he the rock you're standing on? Is he your firm foundation? Do you know him at all times in your life? Now, I do want to take a note that David did acquire of the Lord. He made a request. In 1 Samuel 30, the next verse, verse 7, so we stopped at verse 6. So the next verse, verse 7, he says, then David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, he said, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. And this it says, so David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop, the Amalekites who took everything? Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And the Lord answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. He made his request known to God, and God answered him. But just note, before David asked anything, he strengthened himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. See, I think sometimes we can't even come to God and ask anything in faith, you know, with faith inside of us, until we come to that point of being encouraged and strengthened in the Lord. See, sometimes we have to have that disposition change on the inside of us to come and have any sense that I can request and God will answer because he's faithful and he cares. All things that pertain to us, he cares. So David, first and foremost, put his highest value on knowing God in the midst of his trouble, in the midst of his difficulty, in the midst of his hardship, and says, Lord, I come to you. I come to you. And then, yes, the Lord says, make your request be known. But he sometimes, you know, it's this whole thing of, Lord, just give me the answer and I'll go. But he comes to the Lord and says, I must know you and I must find my strength in you. So David puts such a high value on knowing God. See, that's important. See, we need answers and we need solutions and we need provisions and we need healing and we need lots of things. But do we know him? Do we know him? And do we go to him? May we always be found in him. So really, my thoughts are pretty simple this morning. His church, seek him. Seek him. Go after him. Find him. And he will be found. When your heart longs, when your heart desires, when your heart goes after him. And I really believe the things that you have need of will be found in him. And so we strengthen ourselves in the Lord. David did. He got the answer he was looking for. Okay. And he had the courage at that point in time to do what God said to do. You know what? If you're so weak and God says to do something and you have no strength to do it, what use is it? But because David had the strength, because David was encouraged, he could do what the Lord asked him to do. And that was to go. And that was to fight. And that was to take back everything that had been taken. You see, you've got to have the first before the next, in order to obediently follow God where he wants to send you. And David took back all and then some, because he got everything back with interest. Because all that these raiders had taken, and they'd taken from this village and that village and the other village, David took it all. And then he shared it with a bunch of people too, as he passed it out and divvied it out to his men and to towns around them that had supported them in all these years. And do you know what happened next? The same time that this is all going on in David's life, King Saul is dying on the battlefield. He's coming to his end. And it's hard to know if it's 24 hours or 48 hours, but probably within 2 days, David is set on the throne of Judah. Do you know sometimes the worst times of your life are just the preliminary to the great breakthrough that God has for you? The things that have been promised for years and years and years, and David, it was over a decade of time that there's promises were there, but it seemed like everything was defeat, 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 defeat. Until the time where he held on and he held on and he did not give up, and he finished the race. God has a plan for you to finish your race today. Don't give up. Don't give up. Strengthen yourself in the Lord.